All right, well, we want to welcome all of those who have finally got a chance to hear a 2018 message from us from this Tuesday noon Bible study. We are here first Tuesday of February. We are so excited about it. We are in the book of Daniel, and what a great book it is. We're excited about it, and we're going to move right on into it. We have come to understand a few things about Daniel, and one thing I did want to add that Daniel is this book about Daniel and what God is working through him and through his life is very important, because it is the prophetic book in the Old Testament that has a great voice for what's coming. One thing I also want to say about Daniel is one of the great prophets of old who was educated and had a chance to absorb several other ways of looking at things, but God made a impact in every minute, every area that he was ministering in. So I want to kind of talk about that as we go along. When we get into the first part of Daniel here, it's going to talk about his life and how God worked through him to touch the lives of others. All right. So are we ready? Any questions before we get started? We got a guest here, and so, you are a guest. You hadn't been here before, so you're a guest.
I had a day that I could.
That you could come. We're so glad to have you.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen. Let us get right on into it. This is Daniel, and we're starting in 1. This is Daniel's early life in the Babylonian court. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and he besieged it. So in other words, he came in there and took it. We do know why he took it. Right?
No.
No. No. No. They have been acting up. They had been acting up. They had started to forget from whence they had come. They had started getting into idolatry. They had started leaving God out and going on into things of the flesh. And so if we could put it in modern day terms, they were robbing God of his affection, and God sent a marshal to get them. All right. They got arrested, in other words. OK, they got arrested. All right. So that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he came right into Jerusalem and he arrested them. In other words, he besieged them, took them over. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand and with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. See what happened? They didn't appreciate what God had, and what happened? The king come in, he not only take them captive, but he takes all of their gold and all of the stuff that was in the temple, and he took it and put it in his little temple right there where his God was. So now he's going to take Almighty God stuff and put it around a fake God stuff. Do y'all think that's going to work?
No.
No. All right. Verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Now 3 and 4, you got to keep running it together here. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. All right, so what do we have here? The king said, not only am I going to take the treasure from the from out of the house of your God that y'all not worshiping and appreciating anyway, I'm going to take all of that. Not only that, I'm going to take your smart kids. I'm going to take the kids of everybody that's important. I'm taking all of the good and leave everything else in the background. And then we going to teach them what we know. But now what he's saying too is, he's saying we only want the cream of the crop. If you're going to stand in the palace, you need to know how to talk. You need to know how to about science. You need to know something. So you need to be smart already. We're going to take what you know that's good, and we're going to add it to what we got so that we can be better. So now he's going to merge some things in. That's going to work out for God's benefit on this end. What your Bible says?
That they had to be handsome.
Okay.
So you had to be good looking.
Listen. Did you know that the king, if you were in the king's palace and you frowned, you got killed? Did you not know that? Let me help you. The king only wanted, not only did you have to be good looking, smart, if you had a negative attitude, you got killed on the spot. Okay, did you know that the king used to have jesters, right? You remember? All right. So there were people that if the atmosphere wasn't like he wanted, the jester would come out and start making folk laugh and stuff like that. Just like the jester got in our anyway.
That's right.
All right. So let me move on. He wanted yes people, in other words. He wanted people that going to say yes and look good all around them. That's,
but all pretty people are not intelligent.
But he only got pretty people that were intelligent. Did you let's, we are, this is what he wanted. We're not saying what's right now. We're talking about what he wanted, right? We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. We're not talking about what ought to be. We're talking about what he wanted. All right. So let's go on down here. So this way it get good. 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end, therefore, they might stand before the king. So here he is prepping them up now. He said, I'm going to give y'all good food, and I'm going to give y'all good drink for 3 years, you know, because we don't know what y'all been doing prior to getting here, but this is how we roll. In modern day terms. So we're going to get y'all acclimated to how we do things. So once we get you acclimated, get you fed right and everything, then you can come before us and let us know what you got to offer. All right. Among these were children of Judah, Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. All right. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave them names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and of to Hananiah Shadrach, and of Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah a bad Negro. All right. So he changed their names. All right. Does God change our name? Yeah. Some of our names need to be changed. Right? Because the world does not define us anymore. God does. Okay? So anyway, he changed the name. All right. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Principle here, you have not because you ask not. I just want to throw that out there. That's just, yeah, you have not because you ask not. He had an unction in him to say, this is not going to be good for me, so let me make my request known. Right? Okay. Now God was who brought who? It said now who? It said now God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Who gave him favor?
God.
Now when God's favor is upon you, you will stand before great men and you will be able to do what you need to do. God's favor is like a badge. It's like a permit that gives you the authority to do what he tells you to do. Without his authority, a lot of times we go in and want to do things and it don't work and we wonder why it don't work. Well, we don't have God's favor to do it. We don't have God's grace to do it. We don't have that badge, that authority that has been granted us to do that. There is a way to seem right. Sometimes we think we ought to just go on out there and do that. But if we don't have God's blessing, his favor, or his authority to do it, we're doing it in the flesh and not according to the purpose. Can I get an amen in this group?
Amen.
All right. See, we starting 18 out right this year. Y'all didn't amen me none in 17.
Another point we make is the fact that Daniel refused the food because he was aware of what the Levitical law stated about eating food that would defile their body.
Uh-huh. And where did a lot of that food come from also had a lot to do with it, too. A lot of that meat came from sacrifices that was made to idol gods. And he said, I don't know about all of that. All right. So let us move on. So God gave him favor because he asked, right? And he asked and God gave him favor. So the answer that came back, y'all going to like it. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse, liking the children of which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. He said, now, what's going to happen if you don't eat this meat? And then you start to look like you're not getting fed. And then you can't stand before the king looking ugly, ravished, in bad shape. Huh? Like you can't do that. And then if you start looking like that and it was my job to give you the food, then I'm going to lose my head. I don't want to die. I understand what you're saying, but it's costing me my life at this point. All right. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, and Azir, which we've already told you about the new name. Prove thy servants, I beseech you, 10 days. Let them give us pulse, and pulse is beans, vegetables, radishes, you know, stuff that, you know, not meat. Beans, berries, all that kind of good stuff to eat, and water to drink instead of the wine, which was very interesting because water was a little scarce. I mean, they had it there, but, you know, other places they really didn't have that. Water was a little scarce. So they had water to drink. 13, then let our countenance be looked upon before thee and the countenance of the children that eat that portion of the king's meat, and thou As thou seest, deal with thy servant. He said, look, in 10 days, if anything wrong, you can do what you want. But God has something to do with this. So he consented to them in this manner and proved them for 10 days or allowed them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared. What's your Bible say?
Healthier.
I got fairer. Better. All right. So they even looked even better than they started out. Eating beans and radishes and stuff. I might need to eat me some. Anyway. Fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. If you stand on the principles of God, you should be able to know that God's going to bless it. Right?
Amen.
All right. Thus, Melzar took away the portion of their meat and wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. I did have a little thing with this. I had another little part in there that really had a real good breakdown of that pulse, but I'll bring it next time. I think it had a real good list of all of it. And you know, there are a lot of people now that go with Daniel fasting, where they cut out the meat and just drink water and do fruits and vegetables, which is a good thing. Sometimes you need to purge your body. All right. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. I'm excited about that, because when you stand up for something, God can bless you with a lot. You get more standing than you do sitting. Amen. Just a little something like that. So you got to stand up for something. All right. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said that he should bring them in, the prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them or sat around and talked with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel and his men. Therefore, they stood before the king. So they got weeded out, right? So you're sitting out and the good rises. All right, here they are. And in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians and the astrologers that were all of his realm. So now he went and captured some people. And because they failed to understand, when I said fail, let me just rechange that. They stood for something and didn't fall for what the king wanted. They stood with God, and they were 10 times better because God anointed them. Not only was he better among all the other kids, they were smarter than the magicians and the astrologers. All right? We're talking about soothsayers, stargazers, and people with sleight of hand. All right? Yes. Is that important? No, I'm just saying, when he started out, he was a teenager. We do know that. Last week, we rounded it around under 20, because as we get into it, it's gonna start with each one of these other kings that take them over. He's gonna be every 10 or 20 years, so you can start to adding it up to, if you back it back after we hadn't got all the way into it yet, but right now we're assuming that he's a teenager.
Well, I ask that because depending on how old you are is how you react to certain things.
Okay.
So, you know, an older person, a more mature person would react different to a younger person.
Okay, now how's that gonna work with this eating pulse and not doing the wine? I'm just trying to.
A younger person would want to eat. If you know, it would want to eat vegetables. I know I wouldn't.
Yeah, but now you're looking at it from a 20th century perspective. Back in that day, they didn't have the kind of food that you're eating today. They didn't have those kind of choices. When you get captured, you know, you're lucky to get food. Some other people didn't get taken in the group. Some people got left behind. They had to eat what was left, which was what they had could find and scurry up. It's not like they had smorgasbords to go to and golden corrals and all this kind of thing. It wasn't like that at all. You know, you're talking about the have and the have not. If you were not in the kingdom and you were out there a subject, you didn't eat like the king ate. So when they had a choice, that's what they took. Now, young people, especially if they love God and Daniel did and had favor with God, when Daniel said, hey guys, this is what we're going to eat, they not going to say, Daniel, we're not going to eat that. We'd rather have the king's meat.
Do you think that he was probably raised on the vegetables and the water when he was smaller, and that was became more... what he wanted, you know, what he got, what he was used to eating.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but I do know this. I know that he was a praying man, and that's what's going to show through his whole life. You know, he had to acquire what he acquired through prayer, because he prayed 3 times a day in the face of everybody that he dealt with. And he was always smarter. He kept the same position. As we read through here, God's going to bless him all too. So he was a man too that's after God's own heart. So I think God had a lot to do with. Plus, he knew where that meat came from. So let's not bypass that. He knew where the meat came from. He knew that was meat that was sacrificed to the gods. So he's like, I'm not going to defile myself with that. And then, of course, he was Jewish anyway, so that was certain hoof food. That was certain food they couldn't. If it wasn't blessed and all of that, you know, y'all know about them. They ain't eating everything anyway. So a lot of that had to play with it as well. So you could put that in there as well. It wasn't a set.
Another point to the question. Let's remember that when these guys was taken into captivity. I don't want to say Josiah was the last good king. I think he was, but all these kings, they were raised up to be evil. They were evil kings in Judah. So when you have all these evil kings, and Josiah found the scrolls, the law.
Right.
And Daniel was part of that group when the law was read by Josiah. At that time, he's still a teenager. And all this was predicted that they would be taken captive by Babylonian. By Babylon, and they will serve for so many years. And later on, you see where Daniel, I don't want to get too far because I think it's in chapter number 9, where Daniel found this short, long period of time is almost coming to an end. And he got excited behind that time.
So this y'all picked a good book to get into because it's got some revelation.
It's a very good book to know before we get into Revelation.
Right. Right, it's a good stepping stone into it, because even if we had got into Revelation, we were still going to have to back to Daniel. So it's good to go ahead on and start in Daniel. So when we get into Revelation, we'll already know when certain things come up. We'll say, that's where that came from. All right, God will always give you a picture of the future. He'll give you a snapshot. He may not give you all of it, but he's going to give you a snapshot. All right. Anybody else want to add anything?
I think, too, if he was brought up on vegetables and he had to be mature not to want that steak or whatever that food, that meat was, because he never had it before.
Right.
He had to be mature to turn that down.
Well, I want y'all to let's pull some principles out of this first chapter. What principles do you see in here? There's some principles in here. Out of this first chapter. I already gave you one. The one I gave you was, you have not because you ask not. All right, that's one. What's another principle out of here?
I saw his obedience to God. I saw that.
You have to stand for something. You have to be obedient to God's word, which was not to eat certain things because it would defile your body. He said, I'm not going to do it. All right? What else we got?
Well, they were rewarded with wisdom because they followed God's.
Another principle. God will bless you through your obedience. Good one. You follow God, you're going to be blessed.
I think we can see the humbleness of Daniel also in the first chapter, because he wasn't boisterous toward the chief eunuch.
Right.
When he told him that you eat this stuff, because you don't eat it, he's going to cut my head off. And
right.
Daniel came at him very softly. He didn't say, I'm not going to do this, and you're not going to make me do this, and that kind of thing like that. He was very, very humble in his request that he made.
Right. And through his humility, that was acknowledged by the eunuch. He loved them because of the way when they got captured and everything, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He said, listen, I just got this one little thing we need to talk about. If there's any way that we could not have to eat this meat, I understand that you got issue. He said, but let's just see who's the better, right? Let's just see who's God gonna be God. Who gonna show up? Let's see how this stand. And if our God don't show up, then we'll go ahead on and do what you tell us to do.
Discipline.
He was disciplined.
Mm-hmm. To go 10 days, that's discipline.
Okay.
It also shows that he had faith in God.
He had faith in God. Uh-huh. All right. We got faith, discipline,
obedience,
favor, and reward. And reward, because there was a reward for that. So we can apply first chapter in our life. What are we going to stand up for? The world got some stuff out there, right? The world's got some stuff out there and say, hey, come on in and enjoy. There are some things that we have to say, no, we're not going to defile ourselves with that. And when God give us that favor, wherever we go, we should stand up. And our light should shine. So people say, and I love it when they say this, there's something different about you. Something different. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it. I just feel like you're not like everybody else. It could be your tone. It could be the way you dress. It could be the way you respond, not negatively when you hear stuff that don't go along with you, with your program. And as the old people say, you can get more flies with honey than with that vinegar, if that's what you're looking for. All right? So, boy, we worked that first chapter pretty good. All right? We still got some time. Let's move on into it. We good with one? All right, let's go on into two. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. I love the way they put that. He couldn't sleep. The dreams had him stirred up, right? Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before him. All right. So he wanted his horoscope folk. He wanted his magicians. He wanted the folk that had magic potions and powders. Those were the sorcerers. Right. And then the Chaldeans, those are his regular folk, to show him his dream. So they came and stood before him. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then he spake to the Chaldeans, spake the Chaldeans to the king of Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. All right. Okay, that word to the king, that word Sirach right there means Aramaic. All right, so he spoke Chaldeans to the king in Aramaic. O king, live forever. So this is what he's saying. What do y'all, anybody else have anything else in there? Y'all had the word Sirach? Yours says Aramaic? Aramaic? Okay, all right. Let me see. Okay, so regular King James Version got Syriac in it, but y'all must have some other version. She got New King James. Okay, so the other version said, yeah, so that means that they spoke to him in Aramaic. O king, live forever. Tell us the dream. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is done from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with an interpretation, therefore you shall be cut into pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Wow. He said, now listen, you supposed to already be smart. I don't remember the dream. I'm still troubled by it, but I need for you to tell me what it was and interpret it. And if you can't do that, you're in trouble. But if you shall show the dream and the temptation and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. That's what come next. And they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time. Therefore, you see the thing is gone from me. He said, I just told you, in other words, the dream's gone. I'm not still dreaming. The dream is gone. So you got to tell me what it is. But if you would not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the temptation, the interpretation. I don't know why I keep saying it. Interpretation thereof. All right. I like that. He said, y'all already prepare some things in advance to tell me if I tell you the dream. But I need for you to tell me the dream and the interpretation. That's how I know you gonna know what you know. And the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician, astrologer, and Chaldean. That was pretty bold right there. Yeah. Now, that was pretty bold. Now, he came back and said, hey, there ain't a man walking can do that. Now, you really asking a hard thing. All right. And it is a rare thing that the king require, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. They saying, hey, ain't nobody got it. So don't be looking at us with like you gonna tell us something and keep bringing people in there, killing them. Don't nobody have it. All right. For this cause, the king was angry and furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And a decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Say, all right, now everybody smart going. He going to talk about don't nobody have it. Everybody die.
Okay, but why wasn't Daniel with them to begin with?
Because Daniel was not a Chaldean. Look at this now. He called, who did he call first?
The magicians.
He called everybody but them. Right. He didn't call them. Because they are not magicians, soothsayers, and astrologers. He didn't call them. He said, bring everybody that I know of right now. Y'all bring everybody I've been used to. We're going to get down to Daniel now. This is who he dealt with at first. Okay? That's why he didn't call them. When he called all of them, they didn't fit in that mold. They still standing in the back. They in the background. They all in the court, but he called forth everybody that usually do tricks and all of that. He knew that they were smart, but he didn't know they were that smart. You see what I'm talking about? He just had brought them in. They had just been feeding them and getting them all ready. Let me put it to you like this. They wasn't in the rotation. All right, he called them that had been performing. Bring everybody that been doing something. Let me just see. I got something in the background. I ain't proved that yet. They just got here. But let me bring that. That's why they not in there. Okay, that's the only reason they not in there. All right. So now the decree done went forth, but Daniel them is in the decree. All right. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men. He answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. All right. Then Daniel went in and desireth of the king that he would give him time. that he would show the king the interpretation. Now you see, they was in the background. They wasn't given audience. But once he heard what was going on, he talked to the captain and said, I hear people getting ready to get killed. What's going on? Why is he doing that so quick? He hadn't given everybody a chance yet. Like me.
But isn't that like God? The king, God held the wisdom and knowledge in the background to allow the king to see that who he depended on, who he thought had the answer, that's who he went to.
Mm-hmm.
But God allowed that because he was going to show Daniel and the other two the wisdom that comes from God. You depending on man and you looking at the magicians and the astrologers, but here are these that you discounted. And God used the lowly and the base things of the world to confound the wise.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else?
Why y'all think Daniel and them was in the background and not in the forefront? Anybody else?
Well, he didn't really know them, I don't think.
Well, he had to met with him and talk with him. You remember?
He chose them, but I don't know if he had any dealing with them, maybe.
Okay.
So it wasn't their time yet.
It wasn't their time yet. Okay. After you done run out of doing everything that you can do, then that's when God show up. After you done tried everything and you get down to the last little bit, then you say, is there any other way, God? And he goes, I've been the way all the time. All right? The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar? Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king have demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. Is he laying the platform out? In other words, you asked the wrong folk. Huh? You're going about it the wrong way. That's not going to get it. Right? But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings come the truth. Huh? This king that captured them didn't know the true and living God. He had his own God. Right? But he brought God's folks in with God's treasure that came from his temple in there with his God. So now he done brought it in and he is standing for. But there is, I already read that. The real secrets are made known to Nebuchadnezzar. What shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. Boy, I'm excited right now. All them other people is talking junk. Hear God's prophet come up and say, this is what you were thinking of. This is what you were dreaming when you were asleep. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What shall come to pass thereafter? And he that revealeth secrets made known unto thee, what shall come to pass? All right. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. He's saying, listen, it's God that's getting ready to give me the interpretation, and it's not about me, it's about all these folk that you're getting ready to kill. You don't need to do that. This God is a God of everybody. I'm really, it ain't about me, it's about what God getting ready to show you. That's the humility in it. We are all vessels. We are all instruments of God. And it ain't about us. It's about what God want to do through us. Everybody that has a talent, ability, skill, or gift have been given it by God for God, not for you. And this is what he's saying. It's not about me. It's about what God want to do to show you who he is. And everybody else that's involved in this. Because not only is the king going to see it, but guess who else? Everybody that got saved from the guillotine gonna see it as well, because they could have got killed too, right? But that demonstration that this dream is plucked back up and interpreted is gonna show that there is a God, right? Let the God that be God answer by fire, right? Every time somebody said that, what happened? Was there not an answering by fire? I like that part. Not only did it burn up the sacrifice, it burnt the altar up and licked the dust up. So there was no doubt as to what happened. You can't say, oh, that was just a lightning strike. Right? How do the lightning strike suck the dust up too? Everything gone. All right, that's a little extra. All right. We already got through chapter 2. No, we didn't. We on 31. Thou, O king, saw and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass or bronze. All right. His legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Verse 36, this was the dream, and we will tell the interpretation therefore before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the Lord of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given unto thine hand, and have made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. The second, I got some little notes in here. I don't want to read them because they're going to take us out. After these shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. The fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh into pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all of these, it shall break into pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes part of potter's clay and part iron, the kingdom shall be what? Divided, But there shall be in it of strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and a part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou saw of iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in these days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that is break into pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. And the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass thereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is what? It's accurate. It's sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Oh, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a reverer of secrets, seeing that thou couldst reveal this secret." Then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king to set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. I thought y'all go. I thought about 10. I thought every hand was getting ready to go up.
I'm still trying to process
it. You still trying to process it?
Yeah.
Well, I would have thought that because of that, the king would have automatically said, "I'm going to worship your God."
He came close.
He
said that's pretty close now. You, that's close.
But he didn't do a declaration like they normally do. Going forward, everybody's
going to. Let me tell you. You want me to tell you what the declaration was? The declaration was he put Daniel in charge. And then Daniel was in charge of all of them people. So Daniel could say whatever God told him to say to all these people and the governors and everybody.
He knew the king wasn't
going to
say that.
See, the king didn't have to do all that. When he put him in charge, that means, hey, if you in charge, then you can say whatever you want to say, because I'm in charge and I say whatever I want to say. Right? So he might not have did it the way you want it, but he sure did it in a way that he could talk to everybody. So Daniel and his three folk was not in charge. Right?
Like you said, he didn't make a declaration, but he wouldn't have let him get out there and said it if he didn't approve of it.
Absolutely. And the fact that of him wanting to set praise upon him, he said, "I'm going to praise you and your God." He said, "It's obvious your God is the right one." You probably wanted him to say more, but he Estelle, but he did pretty good right there. He really wasn't that learned of a man. Now, he at least knew that. That, hey, your God better than mine, because then none of my folk know nothing, right?
So Daniel planted the seed.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Now, our time's about up. I think it's like I got 104. All right. I'll throw some stuff out here if y'all got a minute. The first thing was the interpretation. The first world empire, Babylon, under Nebuchadnezzar, That was the top part. The second and the third world empires were the Medo-Persians and the Greeks. The fourth empire was Rome. All right. So each one of them little things, he said, this big bad thing that you see, it was all different things that was gonna come. But guess what? That was gonna be a rock that was gonna come in the end and get them all. Cause all them empires gone. That stone that the builders rejected. That cornerstone. So that rock gonna stand. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Well, y'all can work that rock thing. Y'all want to rock it for me. Portia want to preach, but I ain't going to let her.
Oh,
I'm going to
let her.
Portia said, uh-uh. All right. We got through two chapters. And actually, we still, if y'all want to, when we come back next week, we can still go back in two and work it out some more, because there's still a lot left in there. You know, y'all, everybody looking kind of like, oh, but there's some more in there. But I wanted to get through it, and then, you know, kind of sift through it, and we'll go back to it again. Bobby going to be ready next week. Bobby over there.
One of the things we find in chapter 2 is the fact that Nebuchadnezzar is being used by God and doesn't know he's being used by God.
Right. See, a lot of...
You find that Nebuchadnezzar, he's a servant. God is using him to punish his people. And Nebuchadnezzar doesn't know that.
Oh, he don't know it. But see, that's because the heart of the king is in God's hand, and God turned it whatever way he wants to. All right, y'all. Well, all of you all that are listening to this Bible study, we've done these first couple of chapters. If you do have any questions, if you do have any comments or anything, you know you can always call 770-827-1749, and I'll be glad to talk with you further. Thank you. Have a great, blessed, and awesome day.